We all want our lives to count for something. It doesn't matter what background you have, religion, gender, nation, or whatever. We all want to know that our lives matter. Even atheists want to know that their lives have a purpose. But how can you know? If your worldview suggests that your arrival here on Earth was just a result of random circumstance, then the significance of your life is going to be random too. That's why it's so important that you let your belief in God and His Word establish your worldview. The Bible says that God uniquely designed you because He has something for you to do that only you will be able to do with your life. Your life matters because you matter to God. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part two of a message called How Do I Know What's True? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, Pastor Rick.
In the last year or two, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for the New York Times and journalist for USA Today and for Washington Post got caught in saying they had made up stories. They just made up stories because they sounded better. And they blend fact and fiction. And just many of you know, in the last month, the number one bestseller for about a month was a book called A Million Little Pieces by James Frey. And it was supposedly the story of all of this guy's a biography of his life. And then all of a sudden people did a little checking, found out it was all a bunch of lies. It was just made up. Everybody was upset. How dare this guy write fiction and call it fact? Well, why isn't anybody then upset about Dan Brown and the Da Vinci Code? I mean, he says it's a novel, but in the first page he says, this novel is based on all these true facts. And the truth is, every one of those facts is a lie. It's a lie. They've been disproved. I saw a two-hour documentary on it on the Discovery Channel, not necessarily a Christian station, debunking every one of the things that Dan Brown said is fact. But nobody's upset about that. Why? Because it's okay to lie about Jesus in our culture. It's okay to lie about the Catholic Church. It's okay to lie about Mary Magdalene, because that's not politically correct. You can't lie about other things, but you can lie about Jesus. And in a world of unreality, when we blend fact and fiction, when we don't value truth, then we idolize. Well, who's idolized in our culture more than anybody else? Politicians? I'll tell you who it is. Actors. Now, I don't have anything against actors. I've got friends who are actors in Hollywood. And it's a legitimate profession, and you need people who can act out things. But let me just ask you, do these people deserve all the adulation they get? I mean, there are entire magazines about actors and their lives. And they're, you know, whatever they do, if they pick up some phony belief, well, then millions of people will follow them. And I'm just asking, you know, why do they deserve such adulation? What are they good at? Do you know what good actors are good at? Pretending. Pretending. They make a living faking it. And they're good at it. And what are the actors good at? They're good at getting you to believe an illusion that they really are who they say they are. It makes sense that in a society that doesn't value truth, that the people we value the most are the people who are the best at faking it. See, what I'm saying is, why do these people deserve adoration? The real heroes in our society are school teachers and paramedics and police and soldiers. Why aren't we valuing the people who are making a real difference instead of a fake difference? When we don't value truth in our lives, how do you know, by the way, when there's truth decay in your life? I'll tell you how. You find yourself faking it. When there's truth decay in your life, you find yourself acting like something you're not. So here's the question I want you to write down. Where am I faking it? Or what am I faking? Just ask yourself that. What am I faking? What am I pretending? You see, when I look at the areas of my life and say, well, that's not really me, but I'm pretending to be that, that means it's an area of truth decay in my life. unreality, immorality, immaturity. Here's a fourth area of truth decay. Illegality. Illegality. What do I mean by that? I'm saying if there's no standard of right or wrong, then everything can be considered legal. Because all law is built on an idea that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. If there is no right and wrong, if there is no truth, there are no laws. And if there's nothing legal, nothing illegal, then you can go around and talk, you know, arguing about what the meaning of is. And it doesn't matter if you murdered somebody because you can get off on a technicality. When murderers go free because of technicalities in a culture, that's called truth decay. Doesn't matter what the truth is. What matters is the technicality. That's truth decay. See, nobody at Enron or Tyco or MCI or any of those mammoth organizations that collapsed after the bubble, none of them started out by saying, let's figure out a way to rip off $500 billion of investors' money. Nobody woke up one morning and said at Enron, let's just think up the big lie that'll steal a ton of money, waste it, and then we'll go bankrupt. No, how did it start? All of those scandals, Enron, Tycon, etc., started when they started cheating at the edges, in little ways. They started telling what we call white lies, as if lies have color. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie, and it's false, and it's never going to be true, no matter how you color it. A lie is a lie. And when truth goes out the window and there's no standard of right or wrong, then you go after anything. Anything is, it becomes legal. I don't know if you saw this week about this guy, Nathan Chapman, who was just sentenced in Maryland to 7.5 years in prison for defrauding and stealing money out of the state pension plan. And they caught him and put him in prison for 7.5 years this week. Thanks to, here's who he had to thank for his next 7.5 years in prison. His three former mistresses. They were getting even. And I wrote this down, this quote from the U.S. prosecutor. He said this: when we look for white-collar criminals, we know that if their life is a lie, then it's not confined just to their personal life. If they're lying to their wives, there's a huge potential they're also lying to their colleagues, their board of directors, and the auditors. You see, some of you are falling for what I call the Titanic myth. The Titanic myth was that if we compartmentalize the stuff, we can't sink. Until the Titanic came along, ships had one giant hull. And if it got breached, the whole hull would fill up with water and the thing would sink. And so the Titanic was called unsinkable because they compartmentalized the hull. This had never been done before. And so the theory was, we can take on a little bit water in our ship and still not sink, because we'll compartmentalize the hull, and therefore some of it could be breached and it could actually fill up with water, but it won't sink the whole ship. And they were wrong. If you are compartmentalizing your life, you're in for a disaster eventually of Titanic proportions. And if you say, well, I got this little thing fling going on over here, but I got it compartmentalized. Or I got this little thing over here at work that's, I know it's wrong, but I got it compartmentalized. And it's not going to sink my ship or my family or my reputation. And I got this thing over here, but it's compartmentalized. As your pastor who loves you and cares for you as a friend, get out of that as quickly as possible. Please. I'm telling you, for your own good, get out of it as quickly as possible. Why? Because when you compartmentalize your life, there's a word for that. It's called a lack of integrity. The word integrity comes from the word integer. Remember from math class? That means one. It's one digit, an integer. It's oneness. And integrity means your entire life is integrated, not compartmentalized. You cannot have integrity if your life is compartmentalized. Well, this is my sex life, this is my family life, this is my work life, this is my church life, here's my pornography life, and here, no. If you got it all, you got it all compartmentalized, you lack integrity. Integrity is what you see is what you get. You're authentic. It's one big stew. And you act toward your kids the way you act toward your friends. And you don't act different at parties. And you don't act different at church. You are the same you. You're not wearing a mask. You're not a hypocrite. You're not a fake or a phony. You're the same with everybody. That's integrity. And when truth happens to decay in my life, and I start trying to close it off with, well, we'll just make that a little segment over there, and that may take on water, but it's okay. You're in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, when there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. It's interesting to me that in 1980, they outlawed putting the Ten Commandments in schoolrooms, which were standards of moral truths accepted by Jews, Muslims, Christians, and even people who aren't Christians or religious in the way. But they took the Ten Commandments out of classrooms off the wall, and since that time, violence against teachers, violence in schools, Columbine, Oregon, Kentucky, all those things have happened since then. Of course, there's no connection at all between that. When truth is given a sideline and there are no absolutes, then anything becomes possible. And it says there, look, it says truth decay. When there is ignorance of God, crime one runs wild. If truth decay is not stopped, eventually anarchy happens. And friends, I've been in plenty of countries around the world that I could give you examples of that one. But let's get it back to you personally. Ask yourself this question, write it down. Am I cheating in the edges? Am I cheating on the edges? Not in the big areas of life, but just you're telling the little, quote, white lies. You're not being fully up to snuff. Am I cheating in the edges? That's illegality. Here's a fifth one, idolatry. Idolatry is a symptom in a culture of truth decay. What do you mean by that? We idolize the wrong things. And when I don't know right from wrong, when I don't know the truth, then my priorities and my values and the things I worship get all out of whack. They get really messed up. And I idolize things like wealth, or I idolize success, or I idolize physical beauty, or I idolize athletic ability, or I idolize intelligence, or I idolize popularity, or I idolize cars and homes, or I idolize the way your house is redecorated, or I idolize any number of different things, which may not be wrong in themselves, but they don't deserve worship. They don't deserve to be top, to be number one goal in your life. And today, because truth decay is taking place in our culture, we're actually flip-flopping values. And wrong things are now becoming right, and right things are becoming wrong. It's all reversed, and people are willing to worship anything except God.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called, How Do I Know What's True? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview, and we're going to continue with more in just a moment. But right now, please check out rickwarren.org. You can sign up there for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional, and thousands of people like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So why not sign up and be encouraged? While you're at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store, packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope in just a moment with Pastor Rick Warren.
Pastor Rick Warren wants to recommend a life-changing book by his good friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson. The book, entitled The Good Life, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version of the original book, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 easy-to-follow lessons, providing you with a solid biblical worldview and eye-opening answers to many of life's most perplexing questions. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is perfect for studying on your own, with family, friends, co-workers, or your small group, and will motivate you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation of any amount to support the Daily Hope Radio broadcast. Call 800-600-5004 to request your copy today, or visit rickwarren.org. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
The Bible says this in Romans 1:25. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. They worshiped the things, that's called materialism, they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator Himself. Here's the question for you personally. What have I been idolizing? What have I been idolizing? What has become a little bit too important for me? It's not wrong, but it's just all of a sudden it's up there at the top of my life, like that's the number one goal of life. And I've been idolizing the wrong thing. I've been worshiping the wrong thing. One more, and I'll just cover this quickly. Injustice is a sign of truth decay. Because when there's no standard of right and wrong, no truth and no falsehood, you can get away with anything. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59, our courts oppose people who are righteous. Justice is nowhere to be found. Truth falls dead in the streets. And fairness has been outlawed. Now, if that's the damage of truth decay in our society, in our businesses, in our families, in our lives, what's the solution? We have to reverse the tide. And how do we reverse the tide? Not through politics, not through legislation, but by being people of the truth. The Bible calls it being salt and light. Being people who stand for truth in a relativistic, postmodern, anything-goes society. Now, that brings up the question, then how do I know what the truth is? Is there a way to know the truth? Absolutely. Yes, there are at least five ways that you can know the difference between what's true and what's untrue, what's real and what's unreal. And we're going to talk about that. But it starts with an attitude of openness. An openness that says, I want the truth more than anything else. I want the truth even if it's uncomfortable. Remember that phrase? You can't handle the truth. Okay. I want the truth even if it's uncomfortable. That is an openness. I'm amazed. You know, I've spent this last year speaking in a lot of different secular type groups, a lot of intelligent people, smart people, and I'm amazed at how many people think they are open-minded, but really aren't. They really aren't. What actually happens is, if you're intelligent, the more intelligent you are, the more you tend to be secretly proud of your intelligence. And you go, I'm smart. I'm really smart. I'm really, really, really smart. And that's called arrogance. And when you get arrogant about your smartness, your intelligence, you actually start closing your mind down. And I meet people all the time who are, they think they're open-minded. You start talking about God, they freeze up. They are closed to even the possibility of it. They're closed to that possibility, not even open to it. Jesus said this, look up here on the screen, John 7:17. He said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether or not my teaching comes from God. He said, okay, you want to know if I'm telling the truth or not? He said, you must have an attitude of openness. And you say, God, if there is a God, I want to know you. It's not closing myself to that possibility. It's saying, if there is a God, I want to know you. Jesus, if he's telling the truth, I want to know the truth. It may be difficult for me to hear, but if it's true, I want to know it. I'm opening myself up. That's the required attitude. Because you can't share truth with a closed mind. I remember I did this about 35 years ago. I got down on my knees. I was up in the mountains at a camp. Nobody in the room, and I prayed a simple prayer like this. I said, God, if there is a God, I'm open. If you exist, if you're real, I want to know you're real. And Jesus Christ, if you can change my life, you can give me a better life, if there is a purpose for my life, I want to know it. And so God, if you're real, I want you to make yourself real to me. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, no bright light shone down. No angels came in the room. And I didn't hear the hallelujah chorus. Ah! You know, my hair didn't turn white like Charles, you know, Heston's or, nothing happened. I didn't get a quiver in my liver, no goosebumps. I didn't get emotional. I didn't cry. Nothing. It was just, okay. That was the turning point in my life. Why? Because finally, I was open to the possibility. And I was no longer biasing myself against God. And I said, God, I want to know the truth, even if it's inconvenient.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will share a closing thought, but right now, please remember to visit the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. At rickwarren.org, you can get today's entire message, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional, which is great. So log on now, rickwarren.org. Also, we'd love to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support the Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck Colson was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life, and Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life. And he helps you answer hard, existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please call us and request your copy today. 1-800-600-5004. And if you can, please consider giving just a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you, so we really appreciate your gifts, your prayers, calls, emails, testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you, too. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Rick Warren with a closing thought.
In Romans chapter 2, the Bible says this: some people naturally obey the law's commands, even though they don't have the law. What this proves is that the conscience that every human being has, even those who've never even heard of God, conscience in a human body is like a law written in our hearts. And it's going to show us whether we're forgiven or we're condemned. Let me just take a random sample of 1 million people from around the planet. And we'll ask them a moral question. If you see a 92-year-old woman who's blind and she's using a walker and she needs to cross a busy intersection in a busy city, which of these three options is morally right? 1, you can just ignore her. 2, you can help the blind lady across the street. 3, you can push her into oncoming traffic. You could ask 1 million people around the world and they would instinctively know the right thing to do. You don't have to be a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or even a spiritual person to know what's the right thing to do in that instance. That's the way God wired our conscience. We are made as free moral agents. We instinctively know right and wrong. I love the way the Message paraphrase states Romans 2, 14 and 15. They show that God's law is not something alien, imposed on us from without, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There's something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Now, the problem with conscience is that of all the sources of finding truth, it's the least reliable because the Bible teaches that our consciences can be weakened. They can be damaged. They can be broken. They can be warped by sin. In fact, our consciences can be perverted and even hardened. They can even be killed. When you find someone who's like a sociopath and they have no conscience at all, their conscience has died. I'd say somebody like Hitler had a dead conscience. You see, the more I violate my conscience, that moral compass that God put within every one of us, the more out of whack it gets. It gets easier and easier and easier to do the wrong thing. What do I learn from that? Well, just because my conscience lets me get away with something doesn't mean it's right. Every person in the world has been hardwired to know what's right and what's wrong. The trick is to fill our mind with God's truth so that we echo God's yes and no, as the Bible says. Think about that today and join me next time as we continue in our study of God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.